that the Lord has blessed him. There's been certainly been a sacrifice on his part and on the part of Sister Margie, but I know that they rejoice in the Lord for this privilege. And so we're looking forward to his foreign report, and we're going to ask Brother Charles Rediger of the Covina Group of Class to seek the Lord's blessing upon this service. Brother Rediger.
Our gracious and almighty Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We do humbly and reverently bow before thee again at this time, thanking thee for this privilege we have of gathering together with those of like precious faith. We thank thee that our hearts might be tuned to thee at this hour. We thank thee for sending Brother Gilbert Rice into our midst. And we desire to look forward now to hear the reports of his activities in foreign lands. We thank thee so much for the privilege we have of being able to hurl forth the glad tidings to those who have a hearing ear. And we thank thee so much for the wonderful message, the grand message of truth, of the future establishment, the complete establishment of thy kingdom here upon the earth. We long for that wonderful day to forever by prophecy being fulfilled about us. It indicates to us that time is indeed near at hand. Bless Brother Gilbert, his heart, his mind, his lips, as he relays his message to us now. And may he and we all be blessed and uplifted together as we see and hear these things. Bless thy dear ones everywhere, and we are especially mindful of those who are active in proclaiming thy word into all the world for a witness. We know that when this is done, the end indeed shall fully come. Grant us of thy spirit, dear Father, in the further sessions of this convention, and to help us to grow as we receive these truths into good and honest hearts. Now we commit this meeting unto thy care, looking to thee for the blessing, and asking forgiveness for our shortcomings. In the Master's worthy name, amen.
Have all the lights out entirely now.
Now.
We'd be pleased if the lights could be extinguished completely in all parts of the hall, please, except the one here at the podium. I'd like to preface my remarks by saying that we are glad to be in your presence at this convention, and I would like also to make sure that everybody knows my position. We are not striving to gain support for the Africa activity. We would merely like to do what the program calls for, give a report. And if it becomes of interest to you, those lights should go out, if you please. Sometimes the brethren know something about something, but they don't know much about it. Sometimes this causes concern, misunderstanding, skepticism. The purpose of the beginning part of this report is to merely tell you that there is a Bible Students Committee for Africa. Why is there one? How it began and all about it? It's perhaps not appropriate at this time to go into a long series of discussions, but merely to say that there is. And there would be no semi-successful or successful activity of the Bible Students Committee for Africa if there wasn't cooperation. So we would like to have that word emphasized. We're not trying to overemphasize the activity of the Dawn or of the committee or to underemphasize it, but merely to tell you the way it seems to us to be. in connection with the Africa activity, to which this local class has made a sizable contribution recently, to which we thank you for it, we would like to know, have you know, that there is in the Africa work, as shared in by the committee and by the Don, or by the Don and by the committee, as you wish, there is advertising, there is radio programs, there is follow-up, record-keeping, mailing, sharing of names, personal visits and trips, quite a bit of correspondence and questions received. There is editorial work, there is typesetting and printing, ordering and shipping, and funds handling. So by no means are those who travel or those who give reports the principal significant part of the activity. We would like you to know that we keep a record on a file card of every name that we receive, no matter from whom we receive it. And it tells us when we have first contact, and it tells us their name and their address and what they're getting and when they're getting it, if they write us letters and if we respond and who does the response. We keep a record of these, and we have quite a few names. This is 4 file boxes of names that were in effect at the end of November of 1977. As a result of the recent trip, there was many more names added which are still separate from the previous file. We also keep all of the letters that are received by the Don and by the committee. The Don forwards to us all of the letters that they receive from Africa. And we know what the Don has sent, and we know what might be appropriate for us to send. This is just a picture of some of the responses that have been received, 538, since the beginning of January 1978 to the 20th of March. Now, the next 2 slides also show responses, but they are not duplicates of these. They are in addition to these. And they go up through the 20th of May. When we returned home, we had something like 700 letters to look at before they were filed. This is the room that is devoted to the Africa activity. When somebody writes in to the Don or to the committee and wants a Bible, we send them the Book of John, Jesus the World Savior booklet, and a list of 10 questions that are included with the booklet, asking them to respond to these questions if they will. And if they will, we will send to them a Divine Plan of the Ages book. And we have sent out, since the 1st of January, 241 of these packets to people. Last year, there were 600 or more sent out. We have received 35 responses with all 10 questions answered. About 4 of those have answered them all very nicely, and the rest of them have been satisfactory, but all of them have had some errors in the way they have responded. Many of the people that get those packets do not answer them. They pass them on to somebody else, and somebody else responds to us, because we know this because of the fact that we don't have a card in the file for many people that have been responding. Then we send them, many of them, a packet of 9 tracts. Now, those tracts you can see there is the Divine Plan of the Ages, 2 Salvations, Death, Hell, and the Soul, the New Creation, the Return of Jesus, Israel, Why Does God Permit Evil, Do You Know, and the Homecoming of Our Dead. Every packet of tracts has at least 2 tracts from the Don, which indicates to them that this response is in connection with their contact with the Frank and Ernest work. There has been a radio program heard in Nigeria and other parts of Africa since about 1974. Most of the names also receive a sample copy of the Dawn magazine. And in the mail this morning to receive the August Dawn was address labels for 1,247 Africans that will receive a sample Dawn. And the Dawn sends these out, and they've never charged a committee for it yet. That's an example of cooperation. The committee has asked the Dawn to do this. By the same token, the Dawn has asked the committee to make it easy to send out the three samples, because the way we do it, the Dawn does not have to make out an IBM card and a MasterCard. Some of the literature that we're sending, in addition to what you saw on the other tract slide, is a chapter out of the second volume, The Manner of Christ's Return and Appearing, the Holy Spirit book that the Dawn puts out, and Brother Russell's booklets, Where Are the Dead, also the Hell booklets involved in that same one. We also use these booklets, The Church, Peace Through Christ's Kingdom, Divine Healing, Jesus the World Savior, Israel and History and Prophecy, God's Plan for Man, which is a 23 home study lesson course, and Comfort and Consolation. Now, I think you can see that I didn't have three of those in my file, so with my good typesetting skill, I made up a fresh sign. And you can see that of those seven booklets, six of them are printed by the Dawn.
This is a suggestion as to how people
conduct a topical Bible study using the Divine Plan of the Ages as a textbook. The purpose of our trip this time was to encourage Divine Plan of the Ages weekly textbook studies. We thought many people that we were writing and visiting would already have received the book and been in favor of it. We sent over 1,800 inquiries, of which over 350 were returned favorably, asking for our assistance in their starting up a study. So we have literally been sending out hundreds and hundreds of Divine Plan of the Ages to the people that have asked for it. This slip of paper was written by the committee, and everybody had a hand in phrasing it the way they wanted it. We had a request from someone in Nigeria 2 weeks ago asking for 50 copies of this piece of paper. We don't exactly know how they intended to use it, but it was interesting that they asked for it. This is a copy of the 1,800 survey letters that were sent, asking them if they would like to have a study weekly. Did they have one now? Were they in a church? Were they out of a church? Or whatever. We got a very high degree of response. Now we're ready to take our trip, and we go first to Washington, D.C., and then we go to Paris, and then we come down into Sierra Leone, where we see a person that we've had three letters with before. This man heard in 1921 a Bible student from the Watchtower speak in his town on the subject, Millions Now Living Will Never Die. And the speaker was Brother Brown, who I understand is a black man who is now deceased, and Sister Graves of the San Diego class knew Brother Brown. And this man heard that talk. And while he's not a really good practicing Bible student, more like a politician, yet he did remember this and was able to tie these together. The man on the left is Brother Zachariah George, who docked as a seaman in New York Harbor and heard Frank and Ernest. And it was he who took the connection with the Dawn to the other man in the previous picture, who is also on the right side here. He is also not a accurately practicing Bible student in our concepts, but he understands the truth quite well. He has many of the books from the dawn, and he has a good knowledge of the truth. And the three of them were quite enthusiastic about doing something with the truth in Sierra Leone. We are now going next door to Liberia, which is a neighboring country about a half an hour away. You're looking at Dr. Stryker, pastor of the First Presbyterian Church, who gave us the courtesy of his pulpit for a hour's meeting. Now, I know that some of the Bible students in America think that it is really not very good for Bible students who hope to be a member of the bride class to have the voice of the bride and the bridegroom sounded in the Babylonish churches. So that may turn some of us off. However, that is the way we have done in Africa. And he asked me to send 20 copies of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to him to give to his congregation. Although he still was not able to shake belief in the Trinity out of his mind, he listened to us very carefully. Our subject was, Where Are the Dead? And some of his members of his church have written to us in response to that meeting. He reads the Watchtower and he reads the Awake, and would you believe now he's reading the Dawn. This is a young lady on the far left who I hope to hear further from, Elizabeth Lewis. Now we're going to go to Ghana, and in this state we believe we found quite a bit of interest. Brother Sowers has been in Ghana before, as has some of the rest of us, and we found quite a bit of good interest there, enough so that we believe that there are studies, we know there are studies promised in five cities: Nungua, Hafasini, Domkin, Tarkwa, and Dunkwa. This is Brother Torkley, who responded to one of the early ads of the Bible Students Committee in a West Africa magazine. All he had when I got there was Where Are the Dead? It carries Brother Russell's name as the author. He had investigated the name Russell, knew that it had a previous connection with the Watchtower, knew the name Judge Rutherford, liked the doctrines of the booklet, was very enthusiastic about our work, accompanied me to another town, and visited me at the hotel the last day I was in the country. And I believe that he is going to be a very big benefit. He has written already to David Rice in my absence, and we have written him since we're back. These pictures that are coming up, this is where I stayed in his town with the Presbyterian minister and his family. This is a picture in a beer hall of some people that we had had correspondence with. The tall man in the green on the left has written at least 10 times, and at least 8 of those have been to the Dawn, and he has much more literature than the Dawn realizes. Some of the people from the Dawn are here, and they know I've advised them not to send more than one hardbound book at a time. You'd be surprised. Some of these people have 10 copies of God's Promises Come True, and they've got them 2 at a time. This shows our route in Ghana. We went clockwise. We're now going along the water. This is Christmas Eve. A Presbyterian minister on the right, who we argued quite a bit about the Trinity, and he reached for his Bible, a different translation, and found that 1 John 5:7-8 was not in it, and he was quite surprised, and it was an eye-opener to him. I might point out that we're really giving you less than half of the pictures that we took, and we took less than half of the pictures that we might have taken, so you're getting a very quick view of our trip. We went a long ways to find him. He has ordered the 6 volumes of Scripture studies, has had dissatisfaction with the Jehovah's Witnesses. His name is Brother Larty. We took other pictures there, but we're not going to show them. This is on our way through Ghana. The brother in the middle has written since we're home, and he says he has tried and he has formed a branch of the topical Bible study group in my locality. The 2 men on either side of him are school teachers that journeyed with me on the transport, and when they found out I was going to stop and talk with this man for 2 hours, they wanted to stop also, and they got a further witness. So those other men got more of the meat of the truth by reason of their sacrifice. This is now in Tarkwa, which Margie and I are familiar with from a previous visit. This is in their hotel lobby, and they were quite excited about the doctrines. They do not go to church. They are disgusted with Babylon, and they asked for 21st volumes, and we have not heard from them since they received the order, but we're hoping to hear from them. She also gave me a very lovely meal at her home, which was about a 10-minute drive, and then brought me back to her hotel. The very man in the center in the white shirt is a lovely person at a gold mining place in Ghana. He runs the power station. The visit to me has inspired many people to join in the Bible study, he has written. And so we believe that that is another place. This was another place in Ghana. The young man in the yellow shirt, in the blue shirt in the back row, was very interesting. He has written since we returned and has said, I have many burning questions to write to you, but I would wish to know that you are back before I write them. He had many burning questions when we were there, and it was a delight to be with him. Now we're going into Nigeria, which is a few miles away. This is Brother Oni, who we had seen and had been in his home in our previous 1974 trip with his young daughter and his wife. And this is a group of spontaneous visitors to his home, where we had many people coming in and coming out. We were there 14 days. Every day we had a lack of electricity at some time, and at one time we had 5 consecutive days without electricity. This is the first meeting that was held in Lagos on this trip, and after that meeting, we hired 3 taxi cabs and took as many as we could get in to this meeting, where Brent had had a meeting going on already at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 6. We got here a little after dark, and that was a combined meeting. Some of the people that were there had been there since 2 o'clock and stayed until after 10. It was a lot of interest. This is Brother Olumide from Lagos. He's the one that wrote the Dawn in September and asked if they would send by air a set of volumes and manna book, and the Dawn sent the manna, and they sent the first volume, and he was reading those when we got there. He gave us his church, and we had 4 or 5 meetings in his church during that time. And what we thought would be a mass meeting was at his church, although it wasn't a mass meeting because the postal authorities had not delivered on time the invitations. This was a Sunday afternoon visit to his church, the man on the left. And he couldn't visit with me long, but he said, I want to see you again. I'll visit you tonight. So he came over to Brother Oni's house, but he didn't come on time. He was late. He didn't arrive until 10:30. Everybody was in bed except myself. And some of them got up and some of them didn't. This picture was taken just a little bit before midnight. They had to really go. We had a lovely time, and we're looking forward to talking with him by correspondence in the future. This is the map of Nigeria. Most of our visits were along the base by the water, but you can see the red lines going up to the north. From the top black line to the top red line, if you're interested, is about 22 hours by surface, and it's a hot trip. This is Brother Okasanya, who banks funds that are sent by Nigerians for the use of the work. And this is a brother in Samuel in Ibadan University Press who saved us 25 naira, which is about $38, by telling the printer that we wanted to pay a little bit less than he was asking. This is Brother Johnson, who we thought was very interested, and he is, but we thought he was going to be more sacrificial than it turned out to be. Brent went a long ways out of his way to see him just before we left Lagos, Nigeria, and it was not a very inspiring visit. This is the meeting in the Chapel of the Resurrection at the Ibadan University, where we had a group meeting, and these are the people that we thought were going to start a study in the volume, but it has not worked. Now we are in Ilaifi, and this brother is Brother Joseph, and he's a lovely person. I have a letter from him that I could read just a little bit from, which says, "I must confess I achieved a lot of knowledge, blessings, much and more inspirations from your flight to Africa. I am greatly relieved from the heavy burden of many black traditional church doctrines of Africa, the so-called spiritual sects, and the apostasy of Christendom as a whole derived from demonism." He had had a study in our literature with four others before we got there, and I'm sure that he's continuing that study. He's 30 years old, unmarried, and in his letter he asks our opinion as to whether we think that it would be appropriate for him to observe water baptism. My answer is yes. He's a lovely person. We are now in Aloran, in the Gospel Baptist Church, and we gave four talks in this building, one during which it rained, and when it rains in a steel roof, a tin roof, it's very difficult to talk. This is the same person, and the man in the center asked us to speak at his church in Lagos, which we did before leaving. This is a person that we have had many devotional books sent to. He is really basically in harmony with the Trinity doctrines. I don't mean the Trinity, but that subject, and many other things. I had a lovely visit with him. He has written since we got back. He has the manna, he has the songs in the night, he has poems of dawn. He's a radio format programmer for a radio station there. He has a devotional program responsibilities. He's very, very delighted with the books that we sent him for that purpose. This is the leaders of a church Bible school. That is a school that has a group of students that have a Bible club. And this is the club. There's about 60. Many more wanted to come because we were there, but they were not permitted entrance. They are all going to have first volumes very shortly because they're on the way. This is Brother Bamadeli, who writes that he is also starting a study. I have his letter right here, but I'm not going to be able to read it because we're not going to have time. This is the group that he had gathered together, and this is another church that he attended where we had a meeting, a very small church, because it was an impromptu meeting. This brother is Brother Oluwan. I have four letters right here now in my very hand that he has written. When I got to see him, he's a pastor of Christ Apostolic Church. When I got to see him, he knew that Volume 5 was named The Atonement Between God and Man. And he knew that Volume 6 was named The New Creation. And he had clarity of opinion in connection with the falsity of the doctrine of the Trinity, of the immortality of the soul. He was correct on that, and he did not believe in hell. He's been reading the books, and he's really coming into the truth. A lovely person, a cripple, has a deformed foot. He says he wants to learn the truth because he has a responsibility to teach to other people. And it was an outstanding privilege to be with him. This church, we had 200 in the audience, and after the meeting, the pastor suggested that anybody that would like to stay later, the visitor would be glad to address them separately. So we called another meeting right in the building, and about 20 stayed, and we spoke to them for another 45 minutes. We are now in another city. There's not much I can say about this. I could say, but I'm not going to because of time. This is the only minister of the UCCS church chain that seems to have a continuing interest in the truth, and we visited him in Benin City. Now we're looking at Brother Onu, who some people here will recognize the name in Onitsha, who has visited the Dawn, and Brother and Sister Nail know him. He spent a full day at the Dawn and Jersey City Convention, I think, in November of 1976. We had quite a bit to say about him in our reports, and this is his. I thought it was his family. Yeah, it is. This is in Onitsha, which is a very heavy-centered city. He has 26 churches under his control. He says he's going to come to the United States, and he says he's going to stay here for 2 months and 2 weeks and have a very compressed study in the truth. He says if I went to Bible college for 3 years to study what I now know, I should certainly be able to devote 3 months to study what is the truth. And he says, what I need to do is get away from my responsibilities here completely and come there. This is a University of Nsukka in Anambra State. This picture is taken at 1:45 in the morning. The meeting started at 10:30. I spoke for almost 2 hours. And after that, we had questions. Not one question, but question after question. The moderator had a difficulty to just decide which question to entertain. For the last 20 minutes, he was pleading with them to stop asking questions. And finally he says, I'm sorry, but you won't stop, so I'll have to stop. Let us all rise and be dismissed in prayer. So that's the way the meeting ended. This is 1:45. Three people are there who I saw in 1975. They're still at the same school, and they remembered us, and we were very delighted for that privilege. We are now at the end of a 22-hour road trip. We made it in three stages, 14 hours, 2 hours, and something like 6 or 7 hours. This is one of the outstanding experiences on the trip. I gave the man a first volume. I says, I hope you can understand it. And he says, I'm sure I can understand it after I read it two or three times. I thought that was quite a mature approach to the situation. He has written this twice, since we got back, once on the way. He wrote to us once when we were still in Nigeria. And two members of his congregation have written. And one has written from another city. And he says that the pastor is still talking about your visit, and he probably hasn't even got the volumes yet because for the congregation. And this is the one. He wanted one Dawn for every member of his English-speaking group. So there's 70 Dawns going there. This is a Bible translation project. They are in Revelation, the 10th chapter. They are actually murdering the translation. They are translating it into 5 Nigeria language dialects that do not now have the Bible. And she is from England, and she has a Marshall's Diaglot on her desk, a concordance, a Revised Standard Version, and a King James Version. She's actually writing the Greek language on the board. And every one of these 5 people are professors, and every one of them understands the Greek language, and they're working for Marshall's, and they're trying to make it into their language. It was a very interesting experience. I had to keep my peace, and even then I said something which I don't think was appreciated. I left them all tracts anyway. This is a Layman's Home missionary group in McCurdy. I enjoyed being with them. It was quite a large group. I was quite surprised because the previous evening there was a very small group, as you can see. They were studying the 6th volume near the end of the chapter, The Resurrection of the New Creation. I had a little different opinion than what they were bringing out, and they appreciated it, and I think they agreed with it, but it was a nice study. They thanked me for my participation. This is also in the same city, McCurdy. This is a prison. I'm talking to a group of about 60 prisoners with Brother David of the Layman's. He took me there. He speaks to them every Sunday. It was quite obvious as I spoke to them from the chart that many of them were understanding what I said because they have been receiving the doctrines of the truth every Sunday from Brother David. I'm now talking to Cyrus Ogbonna with the collar on backwards, We saw him before. He's a lovely person. He's a school teacher. He's the same age as I am. They do not take up collections, and he does support the church from his earnings. And he knows I like that. Not that he, you know, I want to see him broke all the time, but I'm glad that he's not trying to make his money off of them. This is Brother Ioma in the middle, and his wife, and another person who is a very, very prosperous person. I slept in his home and gave talks in his church. The prosperous person. Brother Ioma is also talking about coming over here and doing the same thing that Brother Ono is talking about. He has 6 churches with about 2,000 membership, and he was very helpful to me in taking me around to various places. The brother on the left is Brother Sunday Osbicki. This picture was taken in 1974. I went to see him this time, but this is all I saw, his grave. He died of malaria 30 days before I got there. I also saw his 7 orphan children. He was a lovely person. His headquarters church is in Kentucky, but I had had in-depth discussions with him in the mail, and he said that he liked our doctrine and there was no reason why he couldn't embrace them fully and preach them in his group. This is an insurance salesman, Brother Anya in Nigeria, and his lovely wife, who seems to be barren after several years of marriage and have no children. I asked him about it, and it's quite appropriate to discuss those things, and they seem to be taking it very well, which is a sign of maturity for a Nigerian family. He is enjoying the truth, apologizes for the name of his church, that it is a healing mission, and he specially pointed out to me that he did not mean physical healing, but he meant spiritual healing. This was the group, farming season, and many people were not able to be present. This is another group where they want to have studies, but they also want moving pictures. This is Brother Chukwu, with whom I had very extensive and very warm conversations, until finally it apparently appeared to someone that he was becoming a little bit too influenced by the truths that we were suggesting, and he was moving away from Layman's Home Missionary. And I think somebody pressured him heavily, because his attitude this time and his letter was very cold, and there will be no more cooperation. We are now in Calabar. Brent is giving a talk. These 3 individuals are the leaders there. We gave them all Divine Plan of the Ages. Every one of them has written at least once since we're back, and one of them has written twice. This is another group of people in Calabar. 2 of them are the same as in the other picture. This is a meeting in Anchor Inn where we had 21 leaders of the truth groups present. Brother David and Shirley Bruce are familiar with those people. This is our hotel room. Some of the people here we saw 4 times. We were there 3 days, and some of them really came around and visited with us. I have right here 5 letters. And this group of men have written them since we're back, and they're asking for many, many good things. This is Brother Umo, his wife, and his 4 children. This picture was taken in 1974, so you can see that everybody's 3 or 4 years older now. This is the group at Ukpan Onwana, where Brother has been, Brother Jarman and Sister Jarman, and Bruce's and others have been there. And this was a small meeting. Their church is much bigger, but again, it was farming season, and it was a morning meeting. These 2 people, the one on the right, is very much in the truth. Very, very much in the truth. He understands the second volume, and he understands all the basic doctrines of the truth, and he's helped the other young man to see them too. Again, I've got a letter from both of them here. They have written to the Don, and they've written to the committee. Brother Umo knows the one on the right side. Really, really perceiving things and letting people know about it over there, too. Interestingly enough, they got up at 4 in the morning and bicycled 3 hours to come to a town where they knew we were going to be. And by the grace of God, they found us. Twice. Once they found us and lost us in that day. By a stupidity of my own. But we did find us, and they went with us to 2 other cities, and they got 3 meetings because of that zeal on their part. This is Brother Nelson Bassey on the far right side. We're now in Eckert. Brother Brent Hislop, of course, is in many of these pictures. This is Moses Otu, Moses Otu. The Don will probably recognize that name. He's written many, many, many times and got many, 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 too many books free, but that's part of the system as it had been up to now. He gave us the use of his church for three meetings. Not his church, the church where he's a Sunday school teacher. He had to stick his neck out to get it, the approval from his pastor. This is Brother Job Enda and his wife. I have known him before. He gave me some comfort when I needed it in Eckert in 1974, and he's written to us. He expected to be to the General Convention last year, but he didn't make it. He asked me to send him some Bibles free, and I says, Brother Enda, if you have enough money to come to America, to our convention, or for some other purpose, don't you think you have enough money to buy your own Bibles? And he looked at me and he smiled and he says, I see what you mean. This is his church, and I also had a picture of the ferry boat ride, but I don't show it. This is Brother Umo's church in Calabar. We've had also a response from this church since we're back, and we enjoyed them. This is Calabar. This is Brother Umorin. He is now the leader of 70 people of the Methodist Church who stay after church and study the divine plan of the ages. There used to be 100, but they had a break in the group. 30 of them decided that since the divine plan of the ages did not teach eternal torture, that we were not following the Bible. But Brother Umorin decided that there was enough in that book to make it very worthwhile studying. This is one of the nicest pictures that I've taken on the whole picture, on the whole trip. A lovely person. I was at his office. He works for the Internal Revenue Department. This is not a Bible student, but he might be. He gave us about $50 worth of printing free. He's a Church of Christ. And you know how I paid for the $50 worth of printing? I paid it with a set of scripture studies. A lovely brother. A lovely person, I mean. It's just nice to look at him. He was very courteous to me. And he delivered, they had a power failure during the time he was trying to print. And he couldn't get it printed. What do you think he did? The very last day that we were going to be in Calabar, he brought it to the university where we were staying at 11:30 at night and got us out of bed. This was across the hall from our room in the university. This was the last meeting in Calabar. And these were people that we had visited in the city and invited to the meeting. What we had done had written to people in the various cities and said to them in the letter, find a hall and write me at this address in Nigeria. Tell me the name of the hall and the address. And when you do that, we will invite by mail everybody in your area to come to your hall at the time you give me at that address. Most of them didn't do it. So we got to a city and we had no meeting arranged. So we had to go out and arrange it ourselves. We walked and we hitchhiked and we took taxi cabs, and that was the result of that meeting. We are now at the last meeting in Lagos. This was the Gospel Baptist Church where the man in white that I showed you, Eddie Lauren, had asked to have the meeting. Two people from this group have already written since we have been back. They could not accept the doctrine of Jesus, the Son of God, his Father. They still felt that there was merit to the doctrine of the Trinity. It's a very difficult doctrine to help people see the truth on. Now we're leaving for Cameroon, and we had not very good experiences in Cameroon, but we do have a letter that just came from Cameroon. It was written 3 days after we were in the city, and the letter said, I was opportune to read one of your leaflets, and I was quite interested with the doctrinal facts it contained. May I request the book, Where Are the Dead? I am a lay preacher, and I would like to organize gospel evening meetings. We also had an opportunity when we were in Cameroon to visit a synod meeting of the Presbyterian Church. And there was about 120 people there, and when I presented myself to give them a talk, I mean, after all, that's what I was there for, and maybe you wonder where we get the nerve, but on the other hand, something that they didn't know, wouldn't you like to have them understand it? Certainly you would, and so did I. So they says, it's not convenient now, come back tomorrow. So I came back tomorrow, and they had about 20 people ready to listen, and I spoke with them, and they had a white preacher from Scotland who was their leader there, and he wasn't very enthusiastic about what I said. But since we returned home, two of the people that were in that meeting have written to us and asked for literature. So now we'll take the other slide. So now we're going to go from Cameroon to Kenya. And in Kenya we have a name of a person who has a set of the volumes and has written that he's enjoying them. And this is him in the middle with the red star, and that's the chart, and one of the others is the interpreter. Usually if you can find a school teacher, you have a good interpreter. And this is the view of their village, and I slept in the building to the left where we had our meetings, and I did all the eating. The structure in front of that building is their dish storage, where they wash the dishes, where they dry them, and where they store them. That's the cow that provided the milk, and this is his family. The name is Brother Joram. He was very sad to see us go. He wants somebody to come back, and we had a very nice time with him. This is my translator giving a chart talk to a latecomer, remembering what he had heard and giving it to him in his vernacular. I don't know what he said, but I hope that it was true. He thought it was. This happened several times. This is now in Kisumu, Kenya, and this is the pastor of the African Continental Church, which is the biggest church in Kenya. And he was quite interested in what we talked. We moved from one building to another for greater privacy. We talked for about 45 minutes. There was a lot of women that were coming in and needed his time, and he finally had to close. He's getting literature, and I'm going to write to him and see if we can develop it any further. This is a Baptist church minister and his family in Kisumu that I visited. When there's nothing in the town to do, you feel obligated to do something anyway. So you try to find people that are interested. Now we're going from Kenya to Botswana. We spoke to a congregation of about 80 white people at a mixed church. The name of the church is Trinity Church. And this is Brother Charles. He is the minister. He gave us the pulpit, and we spoke about 40 minutes, which was quite a bit longer than he had expected us to talk. And he understands Greek, and he had a Greek testament, and he checked out John 1:1, and he was quite surprised by what he found in his own book. And again, you can see that the subject of the Trinity is a very golden calf for the people. Now we're going into Rhodesia, and we're going to see some people that wrote to the Dawn in 1975. 9 pages, a bigger page than this, handwritten, answering some questions. I despaired of ever finding him because of the time element, but before I left, he had written back. He's a Malayan from Malawi, and he's living in Rhodesia. I visited that township 5 times on the bus, and there are not many white people that get into that township. He was a very fine person. He visited me at the hotel also. He's studying the first volume like crazy, enjoying it very much. I spoke to the congregation. He also had me speak to his youth group, and I enjoyed him a lot, and that's his family. And I really think that he has a good attitude and a good spirit. This is 15 miles from the Mozambique border. I was 10 miles from the very place where the 10 people were slain in Rhodesia at the mission just a few days ago. You saw it in the paper. I was 5 miles away from this, toward that place. Thankfully, of course, I wasn't that close when it happened. This is a Baptist minister and his family in Salisbury Township called Highfields. Now we're going to go back from Rhodesia into Johannesburg, and we're meeting I can't think of the name right now. Marjorie? Yeah, Brother and Sister Brown, they are Bible students. Again, they don't work at it like we think we do. But they have the volumes. They have two sets. And we saw them before, and they befriended us before. And we like to see them. Their families, their members, their two daughters and a son are ardent Jehovah's Witnesses. This was a radio name, a lovely lady with her five nice daughters. The birthday, and I had a great dinner there. After the meeting, she invited her minister and five other members of the church to come for a talk, and they were there about 45 minutes. The minister didn't agree with what we said, but I enjoyed it. This is Brother in Johannesburg, Rudyport. He gave us one naira to help pay for booklets that have already been ordered from the Dawn. He's a subscriber, has been for many years, and is very much attached to the truth. I don't think he professes consecration from our standpoint, and he does go to another church. This is the worst township I've ever been in, and I've been in a lot of townships. Townships are places in Rhodesia or South Africa where only black people live. By far the worst. A family of seven lives in one room, 16 by 16. No electricity and no running water and no bathroom in that one room. I was in that room for 3.5 hours. I enjoyed visiting with them. It's Brother Van Merway. He has written to the Dawn and others, and he is getting literature, and his last letter he wrote to the Dawn was asking for some tracts. This is the meeting in which Brother Van Merway took me to, in which we spoke 45 minutes, and that night we stayed in the township, which is not the first time that we've stayed overnight in a township. Now, you see the F&E. That is where the Frank and Ernest program is located. It goes north into Rhodesia, and it goes south and west into South Africa, and there's many names there. The wavy lines is where I drove a car, and of course I had to drive it back, and the straight lines are where I flew, except the arrows represent where the Frank and Ernest program goes. This is Sister Gramund, known by correspondence to the Dawn and also known by correspondence to the Nadals in England. A lovely sister, almost blind, and Margie and I knew her before. I spent parts of 3 days with her today, this time, and she went with me to some of the churches that I called on and was very delighted. The first time she's ever heard a witness in her life to anybody except the one she's given herself. And she was just on the top of the world. Not that it's that great, you know, not that great at all, but to her it was an experience that really meant something to her. Now we're going to Cape Town from the other place. This is Sister Riley. Before we thought there was only one consecrated person in South Africa, but this is Sister Riley, and she's from England, and she certainly does know the truth too. She's much younger than Sister Gramund, and it could be that she would like to be cooperating in some way. She's never received the Dawn, but she's going to be receiving it now, and we're interested in correspondence with her. From that point, we went to Southwest Africa, which we found to be a very desolate place, very strongly in the clutches of the Dutch Reformed Church, which is a church that has three divisions for various reasons. And from Southwest Africa, we flew to Madrid and then to Frankfurt, and then we took a very memorable trip back to a place called San Diego. The chairman hasn't come up yet, and because of that, I might, without seeming inordinate, Brent Hislop is an elder in the Duncan British Columbia class, and he determined that he would like to make the sacrifice of time and effort and strength and means to serve some of the newly interested brethren in Africa. So he took this journey. We were without his presence until we got to Lagos. And we both arrived in Lagos the same day, and we both departed from Lagos the same day. Somebody might have a few more minutes and might like to hear what I'm going to say at this point. I'm going to say that the nucleus of our activities in Africa have been from the dawn. The nucleus of subscribers grew out of an early 1960s ad in National Geographic magazine. Now, I'm not vouching that everything I'm saying here is correct, but this is the way I've picked it up. And the committee made a West Africa magazine ad in the 74, which Brother Torkley of Ghana was the contact from, and also a Reader's Digest ad for South Africa in 1974, from which in 1978 we have still received 13 responses from a 1974 ad. And there is interest from the Layman's Hall Missionary Movement over there. Some of the people you've seen on the screen have been reading the volumes since 1962. The Frank and Ernest radio program has been on in Nigeria continuously since 1974, I believe. And in Radio Swazi, which reaches into Rhodesia, Swazi, and South Africa portions for 2 or 3 years. The activities for the first 6 months of 1978 have been that 241 copies of Jesus the World Savior have been sent out. 1,184 booklets have been sent out by the Dawn and the committee combined. 491 books have been sent out. This includes first volumes, manna books, Behold Your Kings, Holy Spirit, Songs in the Night, Creator's Grand Design, and other books of that kind. There have been 28 sets of volumes sent over. There have been 18,290 tracks sent. 6 large plastic charts have been sent out. And thousands of sample dons. And I imagine that the subscription list in Nigeria alone is close to from 800 to 1,000 right now, getting the Dawn every month. Now, as I told you at the beginning, as I suggested at the beginning, we're not trying to sell anybody anything. We're not trying to blow any horns. We're not trying to diminish any work. But the program said a foreign report, and I thought that it might mean a little bit more to you if you had just a little bit of background as to what is happening and why it's happening.
Well, we feel that certainly it has meant more to us now. We appreciate your thoughts. We're glad that you have the privilege of witnessing to the brethren, and I'm sure that you have been blessed as well as they have. We thank you for your report. May I again remind you,
better get to the mic. Can't hear you.
I can hear you, all right. Again, we want to thank Brother Gilbert. We appreciate very much his report. And I know that the Lord has been with him indeed. I'd like to remind you again, please, to get your meal tickets as you leave. And as you leave, take all of your belongings, because we will not be coming back to this facility again. We'll be going over to the Baptist Church after we have our dinner. I believe that's all the announcements that I have. And we'll ask Brother Gilbert to dismiss us with the Lord's blessing, and also to ask a blessing upon our evening meal.